This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by TouringPlans.com. Spend less time in line and more time riding your favorite attractions. Visit TouringPlans.com.
Hey everybody, it's Stacy from Must Do Disney, and you are in the place to be, the Disney Nerds Podcast. Check it out.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the Magic Worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 235 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. On this week's show, we've got a really, really special treat. Now, we're going to be talking to an actual alumni that went through the Disney College program, and wouldn't you know it, it's Morgan. Hey, Morgan, how's it going?
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Doing good. Doing good. Okay, well, so as everybody knows, Morgan has been with the Disney Nerds for about 6 months, about a year, and she's been doing a lot of blog posts for us, and she's been helping us out with some of the podcasts and the Be Live shows. And after all this time, we finally figured out Morgan went through the Disney College program, so the first thing we had to do, get her on the show for an interview.
My little secret that I kept from you guys for a little bit.
Yeah, I know. How about that? Now, the Disney College program we've always talked about, and everybody has that little fantasy of getting down there and going through that process. Both my kids talked about it. I always hear Sam talking about it with Nick and all the different types of combinations. So it's really kind of cool to finally talk to somebody that's been through it.
Yeah, it seems to be kind of, even though as many people that go through the college program, to actually find people that have actually done it, seems to be kind of a unique situation. It's kind of interesting.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I tell you what, let's dive right into it. Because, like I said, there's a lot of people that do want to find out the details behind this. And probably the biggest one or the biggest fact is, how did you find out about the Disney College program?
Well, when I first went to college, I actually did a couple of rounds of college. There was a poster hanging in a student center at my university. And it was, you know, Disney College program. And me being a Disney fan that I am, Disney nerd, I was like, well, that's a no-brainer. Why wouldn't I want to work at Disney and get college credit? Like, that's just, why wouldn't I do that?
I know. No-brainer. I get it.
Yeah. So the plan was my sophomore year of college, I was going to apply. Well, I didn't get to my sophomore year. Traditionally, I stopped going to school, went to be a grown-up, got a big girl job and apartment and all the responsibilities of an adult, and kind of didn't think about it until I did a second round of college and that same poster hanging up in the university. I was like, well, it's my chance now. I got to do it.
What are the requirements? I mean, did the poster list out what you had to have as far as did you have to have college credits or could you just enter the program as a freshman?
The poster itself did not really list the requirements. You really want to go online mm-hmm. or some universities actually do have a presentation with a representative from the Disney College program. They do a presentation, tell you all about it. So you either want to do one or both of those things, go to a presentation or go online. My university didn't have one of those presentations, so I went online. There were videos to watch that kind of took place of that orientation. You don't have to be at a specific level or year in college, but they recommend that you're not a freshman because college is such a big adjustment, especially if you go right out of high school. It's such a big adjustment to begin with that if you were to add a Disney College program on top of it, that's a major adjustment that kind of doesn't mean you're going to fail, but it it would be harder to succeed because it's such an adjustment.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. And the majority of the people, I got to think, are traveling. So you're going to Florida right out of high school. And, yeah, I guess that could be a little bit challenging.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it's just like doing a foreign exchange program, which you can do when you're in college. You know, they usually don't want a freshman doing it just because they want you to, you know, have that adjustment just into college, be used to what a college course is, what a college lifestyle, your schedules and everything is. So sure. That's
I was gonna say,
why they kind of recommend it.
And you actually want to get used to the college you're at. So that's important. Yeah. Freshman year. I get that. Now, before we go on, is there a upper age limit or is an age limit even applicable?
They have what they call a professional internship. So a traditional route, if you want to go further with the Disney College Program, you do the Disney College Program. And if Disney has a field that you are getting a degree in, for example, you know, hotel management, because, you know, I've got all these fabulous resorts at Disney properties.
Sure.
You can actually do a professional internship in the field that you're getting a degree in. So they do have other levels for upperclassmen. They even have, if you're in like the culinary arts, they do even have just a culinary internship too.
Okay. So, okay, well, let's even back up one more step now. When you fill out the application, what's the process involved in that? So you've been to the website, you've seen the video, and what's the next step? How do you apply?
You apply online. It's actually very similar to, I would say, even applying for a job. You know, they want to know who you are. They want to know what your plan is for your life. You know, what are you going to school for? They do want to know what kind of classes you've been taking. But again, like we said, it's not a requirement that you have done X amount of courses, but you do have to be enrolled in college, a university, or community college full time.
Okay.
They even want to know your job experience. So if you have had jobs part-time in high school or full-time or whatever, they do want to know job experience too. So they kind of want to know a little bit of everything.
Yeah, you're right. It does sound like a job application. Did they care about grade point average or anything like that?
They do care about grade point average. Now, when I did it, which I applied in 2009 and went in 2010, they did want you to have, I would say, an equivalent of a B average. Maybe even a high C plus. Just because, for obvious reasons, if you are not doing that well in school, then your odds of succeeding in the college program are not going to be that good.
Right.
So.
Makes sense. And again, they're looking out for themselves and for you, it sounds like.
Exactly.
Cool. Okay, so now you applied. Then what happens? Do you wait a month? Do you wait 6 months? How fast did they get back to you?
Well, you apply and you wait. Some people waited weeks. Some people waited a month or so to get a phone interview. So just like how I described, it's kind of like a job interview. Normally when you go online and apply, you wait to see if you get an interview. Now normally a job interview is face-to-face, but obviously you have all these college students all over the country.
Sure.
And some even across in other countries over the world. So if they like what they saw on paper, essentially, you're going to get that elusive phone interview.
Okay. Good. Excuse me. Now, how long did that last? When you did get the interview, did they just call out of the air, or did they send you an email say expect the call?
You are able to schedule your interview, so you know, okay, on this date at this time, I need to be by my phone in a quiet location and be prepared to do this interview. So you know when you're going to have this interview.
Gotcha.
So you know what to do to be prepared. You need to take it just as seriously as if you are applying for a job or college or any an internship because this is essentially a form of an internship. So you have to take it just as seriously as anything else.
And that actually brings up a good point. Is there any money involved? Are you getting any money or do you pay anything?
It is paid. When I worked there, it's not a high paying job. It's not minimum wage. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to say what the pay is because it's been so long since I did it. And obviously labor charges and everything have changed.
Yep.
So this is not a job where you are going to be making lots and lots of money, but it's not a job where you're going to be scraping by either. So you are paid an hourly wage based on what position you have. And when you actually initially apply, you have different fields that you can actually apply for. So you can see attractions, merchandise, housekeeping. They even had Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique. So, they had culinary. So you pick, I think you pick three, it could have changed, of what field you would like to work in. And they take a look at your job experience. They take a look at what you're going to school for. And based on what you've picked in that application, you're going to be asked questions in that phone interview.
Gotcha. So, and we'll kind of catch up to this because I want to back up a second again. But out of the people you talked to in the college program, how many got any of those three positions they asked for? Was that something that they actually paid attention to, or is it just something else on the resume?
It is something that they actually pay attention. Now, I actually knew a few people who had done the program. Mm-hmm. So I got a couple of insider tips. When you have those choices, be it three or however many it is now, don't always pick the ones that are essentially the smallest pool. Like, for example, Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique.
Oh, right. There'll be like how many? Yeah, not a lot of people at all for there.
And there's not a lot of people in those shops every day. So you figure, okay, not a lot of people are going to be hired for that. But attractions, lots of attractions around the parks.
Sure.
Custodial, huge amount of custodial staff in the parks. Merchandise, same thing. So if you are smart about it, and now granted, you do want to show an actual interest in it. I'm not saying that your dream job is to be, you know, custodial or merchandise or anything like that. But obviously you don't want to work in a field that you just despise.
Sure.
But if at least one or two of your choices are those bigger fields, you have a better shot of actually getting something you chose. Like, I did choose attractions and I did choose merchandising. And that's because those are two of the bigger ones and those were two that I wouldn't have mind working in.
Right. Sure. Okay. So, excuse me, you've had your phone interview. Everything went well. What's the next step? How much longer now for the next decision?
Now, the next step is the longer one because the next step is the decision. You now have to wait to get that elusive packet. It's just like applying for college. You know, you want the thick packet. You don't want the thin letter.
Right.
Because you are waiting for your approval or your rejection from the college program.
Sure. My daughter's going through that right now. So we went through that the past 6 months looking for the envelope or the big, big packet of information. So now, is this a specific time of the year they start this? Like, is it like a fall semester where they're starting the program or is it kind of random?
They do it all year long and they basically follow just like a regular school year. You actually have fall semester, spring semester, and then you also have fall advantage and spring advantage to choose from. So basically what the difference is if you did a fall or a spring semester, you're working during your fall or spring semester at Disney. And you can also do Disney World or Disneyland. This is not an exclusive to Disney World program.
Okay.
I chose Disney World because that was the park I was familiar with and it was closer to home. So if you do spring or fall, you're working during that semester. If you do the Advantage program, you're working on either whichever semester you apply for plus the summer. So, for example, I applied for the Spring Advantage program. So I worked during the spring semester through the summer.
Oh, okay.
So, and some people like doing that, some people don't. I figured, hey, if I'm going to go, I'm going for as long as I can go.
Sure. Oh, definitely. and you hope you liked it. So, very cool. Okay, so you got the big packet. What's our next step?
I got the big packet, and I have to tell you, I mean, you can relate because you're getting it with your kid. Anyone that is going through college and you get that packet, and I remember it to this day, purple envelope, black Mickey Mouse legendary icon on it with the gold Disney college program. I mean, to this day, I remember opening that folder.
Nice. Did they give you any type of swag?
Just curious. I got a Disney College Program alumni decal for my car. Mm-hmm. That was the only swag that I got in that packet.
Gotcha.
Everything else was a lot of paperwork of, you know, you've been accepted, spring program, report on this day, this is what you need to bring, this is what you need to pack.
Very specific.
Very specific. Because you think about it, though, you've got kids from all over the country coming to Florida or California.
Right.
If they don't have that one piece of information, paper, whatever, they are hours, if not many, many hours away from home to get that paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
So they want you prepared.
Okay. Well, let's move on to the next step because it's got to be – I'm thinking of the process. You got accepted. So now I guess the next question would be where are you going to live and what kind of roommates you're dealing with?
And that's the tricky part. So I applied beginning of the fall semester 2009. Doing the application process, the interview process, I didn't find out I was accepted till October of 2009.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have to be there until January. Now, here's the funny thing. All they told me is I was accepted to the spring program in merchandising. So I had no idea where specifically I was going to be working. And you don't choose where you're going to live until the first day you're there.
Oh, okay.
So now you do know there are options. In my case, there were three. I would call them apartment complexes because they look exactly like apartment complexes.
Mm-hmm.
They don't look like dorms that I see at my local university. So you had three to choose from. They did have a fourth one that was only for internationals.
Okay.
So all you knew is, okay, I have three to choose from. I can choose a one, a two, or a three-bedroom apartment. I knew it was going to be fully furnished, so I didn't have to worry about packing any furniture. Cool. The only thing that I packed big, I brought my TV because there's no TV, and I couldn't live without my TV. And the PlayStation. I packed my PlayStation, too.
Sure.
So that's basically all that I knew from October to really the end of January.
Okay.
And that was, I am not a patient person, so I just was ready, like, is it time yet to go? Can I start packing it? Like, I was ready to go because I wanted to know where I was working, where I was living, who I was living with. I knew none of that.
So, January, you fly down or drive down?
I drove. Mm-hmm. You have the option to take your car. You do have to have all your information for your car. So don't leave home without the registration. Don't leave home without the insurance card, everything like that, because your car has to be registered to be on property for whatever apartment complex you live at.
Are the complexes gated?
Do what?
Are they gated? Like, do they have a security guard? Do you have to go through, like, a car yes. or something like that?
Not only is it gated, but there are security guards. Mm-hmm. So one of the things we did on the first day was we actually had an ID printed after we chose what apartment complex we live in. And you have to present that picture ID to the security guard. If you do not have that ID, you are not allowed on property.
Okay.
Doesn't care if you have your driver's license, or you have to have that picture ID. So the security was very strict.
Good. Right there. Well, they have to be. It's kids, after all.
Yes.
I'm assuming not co-ed?
It is co-ed. Now, in the apartments, though,
yeah, that's
no.
What I meant. Right, okay. So it's just mainly girls or guys for the apartments, but the apartment next door could be a bunch of guys or girls.
Yep, and that was actually my case. Right across the hall from me was a bunch of guys.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Now, tell me something about the apartment. Like, how big or what was your place like?
So
how many bedrooms did you decide on?
I chose the 3-bedroom because not only, yes, you do have housing, but housing is not free.
Okay.
Just like you pay, you know, maybe not you, but, you know, mom and dad or your student loans or something pay for housing on campus at a university. We still had to pay for housing, whichever one we chose. And it was taken out of your paycheck. Now,
nice.
I chose a 3-bedroom.
Do you share a bedroom? Because,
yes.
Mm-hmm, so
you
six
have
people.
2 people per bedroom.
Uh-huh.
So there were 6 girls in my apartment. I chose a 3-bedroom because it was the cheapest charge.
Sure.
If I would have chosen a 1-bedroom and only had 1 roommate, I would have had more deducted out of my paycheck.
Was that the right decision?
I'm sorry?
Was that the right decision afterwards? Like,
yes.
Did you decide going that way was the best way and the girls were great and it was no big deal having more people?
I lucked out. Now, I mean, in the college program, I heard horror stories of my coworkers. I hate my roommates. My roommates are driving me crazy.
Right. Standard.
I was lucky. Now, I'm not saying that it was, you know, party of five where we all just get along and had fun at the end of the day. You know, we had our squabbles, but I lucked out. And I, even to this day, the 5 of those girls are... Me and them are great friends.
Perfect. Awesome. You love to hear that. So now you said everything was furnished. Everything was there. The kitchen was fully stocked as far as tableware, things like that.
Yes. Kitchen was fully stocked. I would kind of describe it like if you've ever stayed in a timeshare or a condo mm-hmm. where the pots and pans are there, the dishes, the cups, the mugs, everything like that is still there. Now, we had a sofa in the living room. We had a chair. The bedrooms had 2 twin beds.
Right.
Each of us had a nightstand. Mm-hmm. We shared a dresser. We shared the closet. And each bedroom had its own bathroom.
Oh, awesome. I tell you what, guys, as you're listening to the show, if you want, you can go over to the blog, because Morgan's put a post out there already with a lot of pictures about the things we're talking about. So you can actually kind of figure out what we're talking about, too. You can see some of those things. Now, the other question I had as far as the apartment before we get away from it was the food. So do you actually have a cafeteria you guys can go to, or do you really just have to go out and get food and cook your own stuff?
You fend for yourself. Now, like I said, I had my car.
And what if you didn't?
What we did is I remember the first day we piled up in my car, which luckily I had an old Isuzu Rodeo. So it was an SUV.
Oh, nice.
So I could pile some people in.
That's so crazy. I used to have one. I had an 84. No, had to be later than that. Had to be like a 94.
Yeah. I think mine was a late 90s. I don't remember, but,
cool.
And honestly, there's many stories of, With me, my friends, and my roommates, we piled into Morgan's car, like, that start with that.
Right.
So we didn't pile that time because it was a grocery trip. We had another girl's mom and dad came down with her.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the Target, which was a super Target, on 192. And we stocked up on our groceries. We, you know, got everything. All of us somehow bought a case of water, so we were good on water for a little bit. We were pretty good. We divided up the pantry. Everybody had a shelf.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow I was the tallest person in the place, so I had the higher shelf. So we were responsible for cooking. So sometimes we, you know, one person would cook for everybody or we would all fend for ourselves, but there was no cafeteria or anything on the apartment property. for us to get food. Right. Now, there was late night trips to Taco Bell, which I think, and honestly, if anybody, anybody that did the college program with, once I say Taco Bell, I'm sure they're probably smiling if they're listening to this.
Okay.
There was a Chick-fil-A near Disney Springs, which then was downtown Disney, mm-hmm. That I think on Tuesdays had a cast member deal. So Chick-fil-A was very busy because you could actually walk there from one of the apartments, not the one that I lived at, mm-hmm. But you could actually walk to the Chick-fil-A. So that was a pretty packed Chick-fil-A that day because it was like a buy one, get one deal.
Oh, nice. That is a really good deal.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Okay.
So, yeah, we did our grocery shopping that one day. And, you fend for yourself.
Right. So now you said you were there for the spring semester and the summer. Give me an idea how many months that was or how many weeks.
So got there end of January. Mm-hmm. And the program was through, I want to say, beginning of August.
Oh, wow. Okay. Substantial.
Yes. So, I mean, you know, basically 7 months of our lives was spent in the program.
And all six of you stayed the entire time?
No, actually, all six of us did not stay. We can get into it more later, I'm sure. I actually got hurt mm-hmm. Working and had to leave early because of injury. But I stayed in Orlando for a little bit, tried to make Orlando my home.
Gotcha.
So I was there just as long as all my other roommates.
Gotcha. Okay. So we're in the apartment. It's stocked. We're ready to go to school. What's the next step now? What was the first meeting you had with the group, with the college program, or what did they do for you?
The first meeting, you actually are almost slammed with a lot of information just that first day. So first day, you go through a line, you pick your apartment, you get that picture ID made, you register your car, and all that. Then you go to your apartment. You lug everything up, and I say lug everything up because we were on the third floor. So you lug everything up, and then you get on a bus, and you go to casting, which anyone that has been to Disney World and been to Disney Springs, right across from Disney Springs is the casting building. Okay. And you can actually see casting. If you're driving down I-4, you can actually see the word casting behind the building.
Very cool. Yeah, we know that building very well.
Yeah. And that's where you find out where are you going to be working.
Did they tell you right away, or is it like they open an envelope or they have a list and they read off names?
They have a list. Now, you're waiting in line because you got to remember you're not the only one starting that day. Mm-hmm. So you're waiting in line. Now, one thing I have to tell you that if you've never had a chance to go to that casting building, the doorknobs of that casting building are the doorknobs from Alice in Wonderland. So any Disney nerd, when you walk into that building and the first knob you touch is that iconic doorknob from Alice in Wonderland, like, if you're not already excited, how can you not get excited with that?
Oh, sure.
The casting building continues with the Disney theming. So even though, yes, we were standing in line, all of us are just looking around at the murals and everything around us. Mm-hmm. So.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. So what was your first job?
I was assigned to Team Mickey. Cause like I said, I was, I entered as a merchandising cast member. Mm-hmm. Cause you're not an employee. Remember, not an employee, you're a cast member.
Right. Of course.
And anyone that doesn't know, Team Mickey used to be in downtown Disney, which, as we know, is now Disney Springs. Team Mickey is where the co-op is now. So Team Mickey is no longer with us. I was a little sad when that happened. But Team Mickey was a sports store.
Okay, right.
So I was surrounded with sports merchandise, ESPN merchandise, because, as you know, Disney owns ESPN. Mm-hmm. Which I thought was actually kind of cool. I didn't have to work something that was too girly or too boyish. It was kind of a nice, even playing field of who would be walking in the store.
Sure. I remember that store, too. It wasn't really even that crowded. It was kind of a nice setup.
Oh, no. It was never crowded, which was nice. Also, waiting in that line, I was worried that I was going to get some horrible costume. I was going to be assigned to a store that I didn't like. Like, I was worried about it. And they say Team Mickey, which at first I was like, what's Team Mickey? Because I hadn't been to Disney in a couple years at that point. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, okay, great. It's a sports store. That means I don't have to wear a skirt because I'm a t-shirt and jeans kind of girl. Not that I don't like dressing up every once in a while, but to have to wear a dress every single day, especially doing merchandise where you're bending to get stuff, folding clothes, I'd rather have been in pants. So I was like, there's no way in a sports store I'm going to have to wear a skirt. So I was happy.
Now, I see from the post there's a lot of different pictures of costumes. How many different jobs did you have?
Well, all those pictures, one kind of thing, and they don't tell you this when you first start. So as any true Disney nerd knows, is crowds fluctuate time based on time of year at Disney.
Right.
So I started in January. Once we got towards spring break, as you know, crowds start getting heavier. So they sent me to other stores to work, which I didn't know that was possible until I look at my schedule and I see a little code. And I'm like, what does this mean? I had to ask my supervisor. I'm like, oh, no, you're going to go work at such and such store. So I was like, okay. So I worked at Pooh's Corner, which is no longer there. It's now, I don't know what they call it now, but it's kind of by that Pearl kiosk past the pin trading.
Oh, sure. It used to be where that discount store was, in the left-handed store.
Yeah.
That kind of like corridor there, right off the water. Yeah. To the right.
Yeah, and actually, if you know where the Winnie the Pooh sculpture is, where they have a good photo op, mm-hmm. that's where Pooh's Corner used to be.
Oh, gotcha. Cool.
So I worked there. I worked at Once Upon a Toy. Mm-hmm. I worked at Mickey's Groove, which is another store that's no longer there. It was on the west side. That was just, again, just a general store. I think it's now either the Marvel store or the Star Wars store. Okay. Where else did I work? I worked World of Memories, which is beside the art store.
Okay. Did you ever make it into the big store?
Yes, I worked at World of Disney.
Oh, cool.
I was saving that for last because that was actually the one that I did not like.
Oh, no way. Well, it's jammed. That's the only thing I can think of being a problem.
Well, And just how I am as far as an employee, when somebody comes up to me, and this is one thing that's always nice about Disney, if you think about it, when you go up to somebody and you say, well, where is this or where is that? Most of the time, they know where it is or they find out where it is. Mm-hmm. Well, I like being that person that knows where it is. So to be sent over to World of Disney with all of those rooms,
sure.
That was not fun. And then on a personal level, I found out that if I am actually in a room where I cannot see an exit, like an outdoor exit, and there is a huge crowd, which during spring break, as we know, those stores and just the park in general is very crowded.
Yes, it is.
I found out I get panic attacks.
Really? Oh,
so,
that's a hell of a way to find
yes.
out.
So, and I remember very clearly I was in the baby store, which I know they're doing some reorganizing right now, so I don't really know if that room's going to exist, but I was in the room with the baby stuff, stocking some onesies, and I was just surrounded by people, had a panic attack, had to run to the back. I didn't know what was happening. Had managers worried, obviously, because here
sure.
is this girl having a panic attack. I was like, please let me just, I'm like, let me get my cell phone. I need to call my mom because, you know, you got to call mom or dad or somebody.
Oh,
so
yeah.
My mom, 700 miles away, is calming me down from my very first panic attack.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I could totally see that happening. It's a shame, but still, you got through it. And that's the point. That's the experience, right?
Oh, yeah. It was the experience. And I have to say, for Disney, being somebody who finds something that you're susceptible to something like that, there was no way for Disney to guarantee that I would never be put in that situation to do merchandising again. Mm-hmm. And they could have just said, I'm sorry, you know, we're going to have to part ways. But instead of doing that, they offered to put me in a different position.
Oh, nice.
They let me do housekeeping.
Okay. At a hotel? Obviously a hotel. Which one?
At a hotel. I went to Yacht Club.
Oh, okay. Nice.
And got to where I call it I call it because my roommate called it this. She worked at Yacht Club too. Kind of the Alice in Wonderland costume that they still wear. So went from not wanting to work in a skirt till I worked in a skirt, but at least I didn't have the panic attack, so it was okay.
Sure, sure. And how was housekeeping?
Housekeeping was good. I'm not a morning person, so that was the adjustment. Mm-hmm. Having to get up super early because obviously you got to clean those rooms in the morning. It was actually the training was kind of cool because I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to get on the job training. I'm going to have, you know, somebody just show me how to do everything. No, the first day or two actually went to Disney University, which is what they call their training center.
Okay.
And they actually have a section with a almost faux put together room. They teach you how to make the beds. They teach you how to do the Mickey towels. And they show you the Disney way to clean a room.
Oh,
which
nice.
Was kind of interesting.
While they train you. That's so cool. I wouldn't have realized that. Because you're right. It seems pretty obvious you could just take an extra person along with you. But that might seem a little odd in front of guests.
Yeah. Now, once I did that training, I also did a day of just learning my resort, which is kind of cool, kind of doing that tour of Yacht Club,
mm-hmm.
Which Yacht Club still has a little piece of my heart because of that. But I actually did do some on-job training, but it was actually on the concierge level and places like that, which there was not as many guests walking around.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, I'd like to see the Yacht Club. I haven't been over to that section. Very cool.
Yeah, I did a post, I got to actually be a guest last year for mm-hmm. the first time ever. So it was actually kind of interesting to go from years ago, like I said, this was 2010, I did the program, and learning how to clean those rooms and knowing what those rooms look like on the inside. And then here we are, you know, last year, 2017, I finally got to be a guest. And it was also a renovated room, so I was like, wait, this was not the kind of room I cleaned.
Did they do a good job? Did they pass?
Yes. They passed. They passed. Very cool. They did a very good job. And I have to tell you, after cleaning rooms at Yacht Club, you'd be amazed how many Mickey balloons get left, how many sand buckets from Typhoon Lagoon where they did the sand bucket Sundays get left.
Right. And that was my next question. What was the weirdest thing, or what was the most outstanding thing you found that somebody left by accident or whatever?
There was nothing that was really weird. It was, I would think, the standard things. Like I said, a lot of Mickey balloons,
mm-hmm.
Which is funny. What my roommate brought a Mickey balloon home one night to our room, and we sucked the helium out because why not? Which I have on video, and I promise my roommates I will not, you know, release to our Disney Nerd podcast public. So, sorry about that, guys.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay.
There wasn't really anything weird.
How about as far as thank yous go? Because whenever I go down, I make a point to print out my envelopes, and I put the tips in the envelopes. Did you get any of that?
I did when I initially was doing it when I was with somebody. And I was actually surprised to see tips. Now, I mean, you also have, for me personally, as a guest staying in a resort like Yacht Club at that point in my life, I didn't stay in nice places like that. I mean, I stayed in like your standard hotels,
right?
Where I might have just been there for a night or two, and the housekeeping didn't really have to do anything, so I had to worry about tipping them. So to actually see, you know, getting tips for cleaning was a new concept for me. But what I liked that we did, which unfortunately I think Disney housekeeping is getting away from, probably just more because they have more rooms and they have a higher volume that they have to clean per day, mm-hmm. is when we would go into the rooms that had the families. So you had the kids, and obviously their toys were still there because they were out in the parks. And the housekeepers would position the kids, you know, Mickey Mouse stuffed animal or whatever, to read the book that the kid has there for nighttime. Sure. So when the kids get back to the room, you know, there's actually their toys have been doing something.
We've actually learned that is
kind of cool.
Yeah, nice. And you mentioned the towel folding. Did you have full class in that or had that?
No, did not have a full class. I only was taught the Mickey and the Swan. Mm-hmm. There is, of course, the monkey and the elephant and, you know, on and on and on, which is another thing. I am seeing less and less towel animals, which I'm a little sad about in resorts. I have a picture of my very first Mickey, which I put on the blog. I have a picture of my very first swan that I did with a towel, which to this day I can still do.
Oh, very nice. See, there's a skill you took with you. Anything else from any of the things you learned at the Disney College program did you take with you? Like, yeah, what still kind of services today? Anything? You always ask that about normal college as far as, you know, what do you still use today from college?
Well, you have to, any Disney nerd, anybody that's in the parks knows the kind of level of customer service that Disney is known for. And I feel like even though I was only there 7 months, and it wasn't even 7 months because, like I said, I did get hurt. I got hurt at Yacht Club. I pulled my back and it was a little sad because I was only I didn't get to finish because when you pull your back like that, you are out a certain number of days. Mm-hmm. And because this is not a traditional job, you have to keep that in mind. You are there to work and to work many, many hours. They have a strict attendance policy. No matter the reason, if you're going to miss a certain number of days, unfortunately, they are going to let you go. Wasn't something that I was obviously sad about, but that's the rules.
Sure.
You know, you got to follow the rules.
But if you're hurt, you're hurt. There's nothing really you can do about that either.
Yeah.
And you got to take care of yourself.
But back to what I learned, because okay. I kind of went off on a tangent there.
Nope, that's fine.
The level of customer service definitely is instilled in me. And it's funny, now that I'm there as a guest now more, I know what to expect. And if I don't get that, no, I'm not like the irate guest that, you know, let me speak to your supervisor immediately. But I know if you're not doing something a certain way, I'm like, no, that's not what you were taught in training. So I would say level customer service. And also one thing that's kind of funny is anyone that has ever been a cast member, you are taught what is called the Disney point.
Okay. So the
Disney point, if you ever, and now from now on, anyone that is listening is going to pay attention to all the cast members now. If you pay attention to, if they point something out to you, if they say, oh, you know, you're asking for directions for something. Okay, go down the street, turn the corner, you know, whatever they're describing. If they reach out and point, they're using at least two fingers to point instead of that one finger.
Oh, right. Yep.
Because in some cultures, because you got to remember, Disney gets guests from all over the world. Some cultures, if you point with one finger, it's actually rude. So to this day, I still catch myself doing the Disney point.
Oh, there you go. But that is true, though. Totally noticed that when you're down there. So I figured it had to be something like that. Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Okay. Well, so before we finish up, is there any kind of advice you can give somebody who's looking to get into the Disney College program? Anything that they should expect, anything they should do, any tip that they can take into the process, anything?
One thing I definitely want to tell people is this is, granted, yes, you're working at Disney, this is a job. You are there to work. I did work 6 days a week. You know, I did pull, you know, more than 40 hours a week sometimes. But your life is not just working. Keep in mind, your priority is working. You don't want to, you know, call out sick if you're not really sick and anything like that. But if you are disciplined enough to work hard, put in the hours, when you are off, you are surrounded by people in your same situation, and you can have all these awesome experiences with them. Like, I remember coming home one day, and I got inundated with silly string because my roommates were hanging out in the apartment, decided to go to the store and buy silly string, and I got attacked with silly string one night coming home from work. I, you know, have trips to the beach that I've done with my roommates and my friends that I met. There are days where we just went to the parks to watch the fireworks. But there are so many memories and experiences that I have with my roommates, with the guys across the hall, with we being friends with the girl downstairs from us, with my coworkers that I met, that no amount of money I earned at Disney could compare to these experiences. So if you're willing to work hard and you're disciplined and you're open to new experiences, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that I would recommend to anybody that's interested.
Awesome. Awesome. And I'm sure there's plenty of people out there. I did have one other final question before we finish up. How many or how does the college program help you get a job working for Disney afterwards? I mean, is there any connection, or are you literally, once you end the program, you're going to be applying to Disney for a job down the road and just starting the process all over again?
If you complete the program and you want to stay with Disney, as long as you have a good record, which just like any job, if you, you know, have not been the one that's constantly coming in late, if you haven't been written up or disciplined for whatever, you know, whatever it is, if you have are in good standing, you have the opportunity to continue with Disney. You can apply for a regular job. You can go to one of the professional internships that I mentioned. Kind of the options are endless. I have one friend who I met in the college program. She did the college program with us, did a professional internship. Now, she actually went back to school, went back to do the professional internship. Mm-hmm. She actually also then went off and did Disney English in China. So she actually lived in China for a year and taught students in China English through Disney.
Wow.
She also went to work at Disneyland. So
she's taking full advantage of it.
Oh yeah. She kind of like crossed them all off the checklist. So if you want a career with Disney and you are in college, this is a great way to get your foot in the door.
Excellent. Very cool. And guys, if you have any questions for Morgan, definitely send her an email, morgan@thedisneynerdspodcast.com. Okay, well, Morgan, thank you so much for coming on the show this week and letting us know all about the college program. We truly appreciate it.
Not a problem. Happy to talk about it. I'm always happy to talk about it. And definitely, like Ed said, if anybody's got any questions about the college program, feel free to email me. I'm happy to answer any questions. And if I don't know them, I know plenty of people that have done it too. So if I don't have the answers, I'll get you the answers.
Okay, so before we end, if you want to get in touch with the show or check out some of our social network areas, actually, you know what, Jimmy? Tell them all about it.
You can email us at questions@thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds. Instagram @TheDisneyNerdsPodcast and Twitter @TheDisneyNerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.TheDisneyNerdsPodcast.com, and watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
Okay, so that is it for show number 235 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Thanks for listening, guys. We truly appreciate it. For Morgan, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Have a magical day.
There's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in